and start share my screen. Okay, welcome, May 13th. And we're going to talk about variable scope today. So any questions before we begin about anything with Python? We'll have the full one on Monday, but I haven't written the agenda yet. So please join if you can. I'm going to try to go through all these sessions. So if you want review, you can join. And if you want to help out with other people to go through this, so we'll see how that goes on Monday. So today is the second to the last one. So join on Friday if you can to complete it. We'll be doing programming styles. But right now we're going to talk about variable scope. And what that means is the scope of variables that is part of a program that can see that variable. So which part of the program can see or understand that variable? We want to limit the scope of variables because there are only so many good, sensible names for variables. So just imagine if every program that you ever use had to use a different variable name for something like temperature. And if you use a function, you shouldn't have to worry about what the variable names are by other people of other functions. So this way it makes it interoperable. We limit the scope of variables. So what you use and what people call your program wanted to use. So the part of the program which the variable is visible is called its scope. So what part of the program is that variable visible to? So let's start out with something here for some pressure equals 103.9. We define adjust T temperature equals T times 1.43 divided by pressure and return pressure. So good with a program, and I actually got it right on this. So in this sense, the pressure is a global variable to this program. So it's defined outside of any function. And it's visible everywhere. T and temperature are local variables to adjust. So they're not visible by the main program. So you can adjust your global variable from the function. So you can adjust these. So let's do something with this. Print adjust 0.9. And then let's print the temperature after call. And so the adjusted gets the, I should actually put in error a adjusted value. Let me see. I got, hold on a second. Oh. Trying to use Zoom again, and I'm not sure if I can do this. Participants, there we go. I gotta admit, Maddie. Sorry. Welcome, Maddie. I'm trying to figure something out here. Error. I get the adjustment. But it doesn't change the pressure, return pressure. Let's see, pressure equals. Does everybody get the same thing I do? This, oh, print. Return pressure. Okay, yeah. Temperature changes, but pressure doesn't. Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out what did I do. I must return. Oh, sorry. I have to return temperature here. Sorry, I rewrote my original program wrong. There we go. So it doesn't make sense to just return pressure, because if I have pressure in here and then I don't do anything, I return pressure is going to be the same value. So I got to return temperature. But the print to temperature gives you an error here. That gives you an error because it's not defined within the scope of the main program, only in the sub program. Sorry, in the function, which is called a sub program. So, any questions? I confused myself there. So, you see the difference between the global variable pressure and the local variable to adjust of temperature. So temperature, though it's returned, it's not going to have a value outside of the program. You print out what's being returned, but it doesn't have any definition. Questions? Send me a chat. I think I can see chats. Okay. Hands up, everybody good to go? Everybody still listening? Give me a thumbs up, yes. Thumbs up. Or a yes. I got a yes for me. Good. People are listening. So we want to trace. Well, I'll put it up here so you can think about the program. I ran this program where we set the limit equals 100, define a function called crypt, return a value, and then we say value equals 22, and then print the value of crypt. Can you tell me, text me the value of what well, I guess tell me why. Why is the value 20 zero? Can someone explain? Who wants to raise their hand, or someone want to volunteer to answer to explain why the value is zero? I'll call on someone. You want to explain what the program does?
Do you want us to text you the answer?
Just run through it, because like, how would you explain what this program is doing?
It's just comparing two sets of values. So, first we have the max parentheses 0.0 comma value. So it's comparing zero and minus 22.5 and producing the higher of the two values. Now that value and limit, that's 100, are being compared by the function min. So now min has to compare between 0 and 100. So the minimum of the two is zero.
Yes. So the maximum, the minimum is zero, and the limit of 100, which is the global scope of the variable and stuff. So I was just looking at how short this one is. So maybe what I think I can do is we can cover both of them today, and then we won't have to talk on Friday. Trying to figure out this missing something. This is another example, but it doesn't give me, has a question for my own. I won't do that. Why don't we just see if there's any questions on this. The real point is that in Python, it's interesting that you can have these global variables that just get incorporated into your program. into your function with limit, and you don't have to pass them into the function, which is a dangerous kind of thing to do. Usually, and for that, you can have local variables, which you have a definition of what a local variable is, which is like two underscores, so that you don't have this thing of using parameters from, that could be from a main program. So has anybody seen that, localizing the variables with an underscores? Anybody? Sean has seen that with the double underscore, which is something that we really needed to because that way you know that your variable is local to your program. Let's see if I do, if you do an example, doesn't really matter too much, but I don't see a good example of localized variables. Let me just Google it. Yeah, good examples. They don't really talk too much about the scope. You have the global variables that you have in here. And then you got your variables in the program. But what happens when you have, you can have a global inside and outside your programs, and they can get confused. I'm not sure if I got that right or not. XXX women. Well, anyway, you can look that up and see some examples of the localized variable. I don't know. Sean, do you have a good page that talks about not using the global variables with the underscores?
Say that again.
So how do you make sure you don't have something where limit, say you, I guess you can always put like limit equals zero, or minus 10. And if you print that out, you print limit, what do you think this will give? So it redefines the limit variable. No, limit is 100. But you know, so I redefine what limit is inside the program. Right, so you got limit on the outside of the program and you got limit inside. So you got two different limit variables here. This is one that's limited to the value inside the program, and the other limit is the global variable. So do you see, is that confusing that you have two different limits and they both have different values? And because it has a value inside the program, because I redefined it, even though it came in globally, it redefines the limit, but it doesn't redefine it as an exit to program. Because the scope of that variable is only to the function. Right, I can put limit equals minus 10 here, and then I would get minus 10 and minus 10. But you have two of them in there. I should have left that for an example of what we do. Okay, let's finish up today, and I'll talk a little bit about coding style. So if there's no questions about variable scope for the global and the functions. So it goes why you want to redefine your variables in a function all the time if you're going to use them, because they can come in from the global scope. I'll put in a new one called programming style and put this on here. I got, I got participants up and I got my chat window. Hey, can somebody send me a chat so I can at least see it? Someone say hi to me. I'm going to kind of find my chat window. Chat me something.
Sent you something.
Okay. This is a global chat. There we go. Where did my chat window go? And now why can't I see my chats? Okay, anybody can tell me how to bring up my chat window? Because I can't find it.
Did you click on your participants option?
Yeah, but I don't have that when I'm sharing the screen. Oh, this is where I got to have that
window.
Oh, yeah. Participants.
Just close the participants window.
No, well, close it. I'm supposed to be able to get chats in here, no? There we go. Chat. Okay. I think I got my chat window now. All right, everybody said hi in test. I have to go under this one. They hide it from the shared. It's up by where I have the shared window. So, okay. I found my participants window. Okay, go back and talk about the programming style type of stuff. So the idea of styles in your programs is to write things so that you make the program readable. my analogous thing is try to read something, try to write a, take something you wrote and remove all the periods and remove all the spaces between the words and try to read that. Has anybody ever tried that? This is, so here's one example, and it's not a very, so compare that to something that's punctuated. This is very hard to read, and you put the period in there. So, you know, this, the 1,000 years ago or something, this is how things are always written. They didn't have these punctuations, the concept of spaces between words. It was a major concept of writing. So we want to make things more readable. So you want to format your code in a readable style. So we want to talk a little bit about the objectives of why you want to do this. And then there's a term in programming I like is called refactoring. R-E-F-A-C-T-O-R. It means changing your code around, but not changing the functionality of the code. So don't add any functional changes. Don't add anything where how the program runs changes. But you can go through and change to make it more readable. And Python has a coding standard for styles. So one of the coding styles is indention. And the other thing that we did up here is use blank lines to indent different parts of the code. This is style. If you didn't have these blank lines in here, it would not make a difference to the code. Likewise, you know, four spaces is a style thing. You need to indent, but not necessarily four spaces. So document your code and document as you go along. Use clear and meaningful variables. And I like this in Python. Please, please don't use tabs in your code. Use white spaces because tabs can be set differently. So they get confusing. So to make your code more readable, use spaces. And one of the things that I like to do too is when you have comment blocks and you comment your code, if you want to test something, for like print X, I use two of the comments to say that this is really a line of code that I need to remove later on. So you can find that. That's one of the things I like to do. But you should, with good programming style, all your test lines should be removed. So there's another thing we can talk about, which is called an assertion. And I'll show you the example here. We assert that the volume is greater than zero. If the assertion is false, Python interpreter raises an assertion error and says that there's something wrong with your value. So if you put in a mass and a volume, and your volume is not greater than zero, you wouldn't really divide that, and it would give you an error. The other thing that Python has is a doc string to provide built-in help. And this is done with our ADPA module that Nick wrote to provide a lot of help information. So the first thing in a function is a character string that is not assigned directly to the variable. Python attaches it to a function for built-in help called a doc string. So if we do an average, and we put in a built-in function, where we have the string here returns the average of a value or none. This is your doc string for your function. So it returns information is being helpful in a help on that function. And of course you can have multiple strings to do that if you use the triple quotes. So give you one exercise here. How would you document and use doc strings on the following? So I want to document this code. So why don't you text me how you would document this to create a doc string on this. What would you do to create a doc string that you would have some help on this? So text me your code or the couple lines of code that you would change to do this. So someone can tell me how you make this a doc string. No one's saying, I do have my chat up. Hi, everybody. Text me solution. Can you just send me the whole code? think everybody's fallen asleep on this end of the semester. So I want to be able to type help middle and get more information than just the name of the program. Do you understand? No one's sending me answers. I'll just tell everybody answer what I want. The idea is to make the comments into a doc string. And if it's multiple lines, you would have to then use and then you can do help on middle. And it will return multiple lines for your comments. So it's better to put your comments like this so that it goes into a documentation of the function. Since no one's really doing much, I'll just show you the example and what we mean by refactoring. Can someone look at this code? So can you, someone want to take a guess at what you think this code does? Takes a string and manipulates it. Oh, I got some messages now. Maybe I'm not seeing its messages. Is it, I guess the question is, if you want to say yes or no, is this easy to understand? I'm having a hard time understanding what the stuff in this part does. So I'll just give you the solution here in terms of what a refactoring code would look like. I think that should work and run. It prints out a whole bunch of stars. But if we refactor it, does the same thing. You see, you get the same output here as the thing. But see, you have all this additional documentation with a doc string. You have some additional comments in here that you go through. You separate out the if statements. You put it in a function to do this. Your if then else's are better here. So that you can see them and see what happens with the functions. So it does the same thing, but it really gives you out new code. So follow all the standard practices, use doc strings. And since this is my lesson, I will go back and show you on my homepage for everybody that does this. I have a guide for articles, data process, and presentation, but a programming guide. So please read this guide and follow it. And we talked about a lot of these coding styles, indent codes within loops, try to keep to 80 characters so you don't have too long lines, have good variable names. The other thing is to, when you have equations and stuff, you know, it's nice to put spaces before and after your equal signs. But the other thing is to comment. I like to use complete sentences, define all the units of your variables. But what else to comment that's very important? Provide a reference for any equations that you use. So any equations, it's like, I don't understand this equation. I don't know what the units are. I don't know where it comes from. I can't understand anything about it. So which book, which paper did you get this in? And so a lot of even numerical models have things that they don't even know where they come from. Oh, we'll set this crowd droplet concentration to 100 number per cubic centimeter. Why? Where did that come from? So please do that. Import all your libraries at the start. So do this, read through there, make big enough fonts. But the main one is to document your equations. And I've seen programs, I'm like, where does this come from? I have no idea. Remove your comment lines. So that's my thing. So, and then the other thing is I put is like in my documentation string, I call them header information, but you should have certain things like the name, the purpose, the syntax. Python has a syntax built in. But the other thing is, how do you execute it? Give an example of how you execute it and then modification histories. So if we do that, I'll do that very quickly. And since I got a few minutes, and this will make this a last lesson. Any questions about documentation? I'll stop there. But read my documentation guide. Sean, you've done a lot of programming. Do you have any more documentation guidelines?
Kind of the gist of it. I'm trying to think of any extra ones I might have. Good comments are probably the biggest thing.
Put comments in, yes. Good comments.
Not just for the people that are going to come across it, but for yourself in the future after you've forgotten what things do or why you put them there, which you inevitably will.
Okay, since everybody's seen this, maybe I can make, I won't make it too big, but here's one of the big codes to read in our standard data file for the aircraft data processing. And it's a Python code now. It's about 1,000 lines of code. You see at the beginning, we got the name of it, we got the purpose, how to call, we got the big modification history for it. So it's all Python code. But we got lots of modifications with the dates and who's modified this to do this. We have an example of how to import this. This is a library that you import it. We have a usage here to say how to use it. So if you wanted to use it, you would create a new object, and then you can read a data file in with this. So it reads a standard data file. We can also write out the standard data files. We can use a mask that we talked about to mask out the data. We can do calculations. And if Nick gets done with his paper, he'll finish it up, but he's actually adding prodding routines and everything for this. So the idea is we have this object that we'll have this functionality. So we have certain data and certain objects for it. But for example, there is a Python example of how you read in the data files. So if we create the, not only the read data, but we can also do a plot. So you can have a couple lines of code that would read in a data file and plot up some data and do that. And then we have the standard notes of what all the data files objects have in it. So it's very big program, but you see, it's only 1,000 lines of program, but the first 380 lines are comments for the program. So that's the extent that you should comment your code. Here's your doc string for the ADPA class. And this is creates a object-oriented ADPA object in a, that defines a class. And we have a lot of these self variables that are defined within the program itself. Here's your function to read in your data file. Again, a doc string to tell you what it is. Your if-then statements, some more definitions. So we can define all these functions as part of this library. So if you want something to play around with, like Greg or others, you can use this to read in the ADPA formatted data to get started. It does all the inputs into a class and it gives you some examples. So you should see most of this is this if then, if statements, else statements, for loops, everything we covered is contained in this library. I don't think there's much else that's in here. So there's a full example of a library with some print for statements. And I won't go into details on how to use it right here. I could do another demo on how to read that in, but something like that is available so that if you ever work with aircraft data files and stuff, you can just read them in as an object and do that. And one of the things we're doing now is rewriting everything in Python 3 because it was originally stored in Python 2. So in there, got to another hour of this, but now we don't have to come on Friday, so we'll cancel Friday's class. And if you want a refresher, come on Monday. I'll send out the agenda to everybody here. Hopefully tomorrow. I'll keep saying I'll do it every day, but I haven't got to it. So, questions? So no meeting on Friday. And that's kind of the last thing on Python. So everybody should be able to read and understand this library that's part of the airborne data processing function. And you can use some of the other ones like, I'm trying to think, I think FileMath does a lot of Python. So these are the Python codes, Python library codes that we have, which are only a few compared to the IDL and other languages. So. All right, I'll stop sharing. Sorry, I didn't have much hands-on for this one. But that's the end. If you want, stay around. We can talk some more. Anybody got questions? Otherwise, I'll stop the recording.